Good morning. Happy September. Where does the year go? It's just, wow. It's already September. It's amazing. The song that I'm going to sing this morning talks about being under God's wings. It's called Sheltered by His Wings. It's pretty amazing when you read through the Bible how many references there are to God sheltering us under His wings. There are numerous ones in the Old Testament and two references in the New Testament, both spoken by Jesus himself. He was weeping over Jerusalem when he came in that last few days of his life, that they did not see him for who he was. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, how many times have I wanted to take you under my wings like a hen gathers her chicks to protect him? You would not. They wouldn't have him." And so, but God is faithful. And to those who will have him, he shelters us by his wings. This song is written by a lady that I know in San Diego. And about 2 to 3 years, something like that, after she wrote this song, she was singing in their choir and went down, just boom, went down. She had a brain aneurysm. But God had given her this song beforehand. And she came through that trusting him, and she recovered completely, and she's just fine. So anyhow, as a tribute to her and to the Lord, sheltered by his wings.
Sheltered by his wings, sheltered by his wings, his love.
Thank you for that, Carla. Sheltered by his wings. You know, I want to just encourage all of us to pray for the farmers God is in control. Nothing that is happening in their life has not first passed by his vision. And he knows full well what they're dealing with and what he wants to accomplish in that. The ultimate goal of every Christian's life is to bring glory to Christ. And I just pray that in this situation, we would pray that they would be able to do that as well. So I encourage you and pray for them in that way. I'd like to invite you to all stand, turn to 592. Let's all stand together. 592, Like a River Glorious.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in his mighty grace. Perfect yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth.
Dismissed to Children's Church, stanza three together, please.
Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him.
Couple of things I forgot to make earlier. One is that the presentation table out in the foyer is from Becca's trip to Madagascar, and she has a whole bunch of things that she brought back from there. And after the service today, she'll be out there by that table answering questions about her trip. So that's there. And also, who remembers Kent LeBeau, our blind missionary evangelist? He'll be with us next week. He and his wife will be here next week to present. So we're looking forward to that as well. All right. Yes. I will turn that on, Brother Rick, gladly. How's that? Is that better?
Yeah.
If you can hear me, raise your hand. If you can't hear me, raise your other hand. Okay, I see how you are. All right. On time. On time. Who believes that early is on time and on time is late? Yeah. There's a whole bunch of you folks out there. Troublemakers, everyone. Who believes that as long as you're within 5 or 10 minutes of the time, either way, you're okay? Honestly, you live your life that way, so don't deny it. I know who some of you are. And God knows who all of you are. Now, what does on time really mean? If you're supposed to be there at 9, what is on time? 9. You see, on time is an objective phrase. that we like to hijack and make subjective. And we do that a lot. We do that with a lot of things. Well, that's what you think on time is, but here's what I think it is. And what we're really saying is that truth has different definitions. The problem with that is that if truth has different definitions, then there really isn't any truth at all. If you believe A, and that's okay, and I believe B, and they're completely different, then they both can't be true. All paths lead to heaven, and you must be saved through the name of Jesus Christ, are opposing views. They cannot both be true. You see, but we as people like to take things that are objective and make them subjective. You believe what you want, and I'll believe what I want. You do it your way, I'll do it my way. We are so steeped in our individualism, we call it things like creativity and imagination and initiative and independence. When in fact, especially when it comes to God and His Word, it's simply rebellion, nothing less. You see, God says things in His Word that are what they mean. And that's all that they mean. And we are not privileged to redefine them. And that's one of the things that I think it's important to turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, please. You may not even need to turn there. You may know it by heart. Romans 12, 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, the word reasonable is an objective word in the Bible. It's not a subjective word. But we can make it subjective. We can say things like, well, that's reasonable to me, or that's not reasonable to me. But when it comes to God and it comes to truth, reasonable must be considered in light of what God means it to be, and He alone. This is the only place in our English Bible where this word is used. And yet, what a powerful use it is. And it's an interesting word because it comes from the Greek and it literally means that which is logical to God. Even the human definition of reasonable is an objective definition until we say to me or for me. That's reasonable for me or to me. We take it and we hijack it and we make it subjective. But it's actually that which is logical to God, a divine reasonableness. And it's important that we understand that the way that we define it determines how we apply it. Just like that little on-time thing. If I define on-time as being early, then I am always early. If I define on-time as being on-time, I'm on-time. If I define on-time as being slightly late, even, I'm still within the bandwidth of my acceptable level, then I'm often late. And it would be one thing if we just did that, and when it happened, we just went, But what happens when you are a person who thinks that early is on time and someone gets there actually on time? You think, well, you're late, even though they're not. And you see, we begin to judge people by our definitions. So definitions matter. They matter a lot. But it's important that we remember that we are not the author of the Word of God. And it's not up to our private interpretation to decide how it applies. So what does God mean when God says reasonable? What is reasonable to God? Because I would submit to you that in the New Testament church today, we have gone about to redefine the Christian walk in humanly reasonable terms. Terms that we are comfortable with. When in fact the Christian walk by its very nature should make you uncomfortable in your flesh. It should make you uncomfortable in your passions. It should make you uncomfortable in your attitudes and uncomfortable in your thoughts. For you see, we have a flesh inside of us. Does anybody here doubt that they have a flesh? And a human nature, a sin nature? We have a sin nature that rises up every morning when the sun comes up. And it wants to assert itself. How many of you can relate to that? Your flesh wants to assert itself. You experience that? It wants to just take charge. And it does all kinds of redefining to make it seem legitimate. Like saying, well, they're just being unreasonable. That's not fair. I shouldn't have to do that. You see, our flesh is it's Satan's biggest ally in our lives. And yet God says, I want you to be reasonable in your service, as I define reasonable. So I want to spend a little time this morning looking at what does God mean by reasonable? What is his standard of reasonable? And I would ask you that as you listen to this, that you consider in your own life, are there areas of my life where I have redefined God's definition? I have rewritten it to be more comfortable for me or to suit me? Just ask God to show you that, if that's the case. Because I think that to live the Christian life, the way Christ intends us to live the Christian life, demands that we be consistent with his expectation and not with our own. There's a couple of examples I want to just give to kind of point this out, this idea of reasonable in the Bible. In Ezra, he's talking about how they came back to rebuild the temple. And they get started, and then what happens? They stop. And they thought it was more reasonable, because of the hardship of that, more reasonable to spend time on their own houses and their own properties and their own stuff. And they get confronted about that. It says, so you have time to build your paneled and sealed houses, but you don't have time to build the house of the Lord. And God describes how they plant, but they don't reap. They put on clothes, but they're still cold. They drink water, but they're still thirsty. They earn money, but it goes through their hand like sand. The point being is, God did not prosper them because they had redefined what was reasonable. The children of Israel went and they sent out 12 spies to spy the land out. Said, hey, let's go check it out. Well, God had promised it to them. God had promised them that land. He said, wherever you put your foot goes, I'm going to give it to you. That's your land. I've said it. Now, see, that's God's definition of reasonable. But they sent 12 spies in. They came back, and 10 of those 12 spies said what? There's big cities. Whew. Big walls. Whew. Big people. Giants. Man, it's just not reasonable. It's not reasonable to go in there and take that land. We can't do that. We're like grasshoppers compared to those guys. It won't work. It's not reasonable. Now Joshua and Caleb said what? God's already given us the land. It's translated, they said, it's totally reasonable. God said it's ours. Let's go get it. Not reasonable. Wouldn't be prudent. Shouldn't do that. To quote President Bush from many years ago, wouldn't be prudent to do that. So what did they do? They kind of had an uprising, right? They said, it's even better to go back to Egypt than to be here. They redefined reasonable. From God's standard, which was take the land, to a lot of big stuff there. So they didn't go. How did that work out for them, for that generation? Brother George, what happened to them? Not good. They all died in the wilderness. God took care of them. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. They had food. They had water. But they got to live for 40 years wandering in a little patch of desert. Like that was more reasonable than taking the land. You see, we need to be careful as Christians that we don't redefine reasonable to our standard, but instead accept the standard God has given us in his word. And I want to look at that this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for the day. But God, I tell you what, I know in my heart that there is an ever-present temptation to redefine what is reasonable as a Christian. And I believe, Lord, because you've laid this on my heart today to preach, that there is that same propensity in the hearts of others. But God, we have got to understand, and I pray that we will today, that we must do it your way. That your way, that divine reasonableness is the only way. So open our hearts today, dear God. Help us, I pray, to be honest with ourselves. God, do not let us give ourselves a pass. Do not let us give ourselves an excuse. Allow no yeah buts to enter into our thinking, but the pure word of God and the Holy Spirit, dear God, to touch our hearts and minds, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so let's take a look at some things that God says are reasonable. First of all, point one is reasonable devotion to God equals full devotion. Full devotion. We saw that in Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present some of your stuff. Right? You present your tithe. You present some of your time. What does it say? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You have nothing more personal than that. Nothing more personal than that. Present your bodies. What? On a weekly basis? For 4 hours a week? To Sunday school? To church? No. Present your bodies what? A living sacrifice. Now, a sacrifice goes on the altar, and that's where it dies. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, God's definition of reasonable devotion is full devotion and nothing less. In the Psalms, 9 times it says, with your whole heart, to praise him with our whole heart, to seek him with our whole heart, to follow his statutes with our whole heart, to entreat God's blessing with our whole heart, to obey him with our whole heart, to call out to him with our whole heart. You see, there's nothing less. Christ gave everything to redeem us. And God calls us to give everything in devotion. There is nothing that you possess that will keep you out of hell. But there are a lot of things that you possess that could help you get there. If you're not saved today, many people, like the rich young ruler, walk away because they would not give up what was temporal for that which is eternal. But folks, it's possible as a Christian to live a life where we're saved, but we're miserable. There is no reason why a Christian can't be miserable. All you have to do is live outside the obedient will of God. Not give him your full devotion. Have a divided heart. Divided dependence. Love the world. Be like Demas and forsake God and go to the world because you have an appetite for it. You see, God's definition of reasonable devotion is full devotion. But we hear people say, well, let's not get carried away. Let's not get carried away here. I would say that the apostles got carried away. I would say that Stephen got carried away. I would say that Peter preaching after Pentecost got carried away. We need Christians to be a little more carried away and a little less cautious in their faith. What are you holding back for? What are you waiting for? What am I waiting for? At what point does God get it all? Are we going to wait till we die and we see how truly pathetic what we held on to was? Or do we give God our full devotion now? We can live a life in Christ, fully devoted to him, that is so freeing and so joy-filled. And so peace permeated that every day we get up embracing the Lord's mercies, excited for his empowerment, thrilled with his calling. We can live that, but it's full devotion. And that is the reasonable standard. So if your devotion to the Lord is a divided devotion, just know that you have redefined reasonable. Mark chapter 12, verses 29 and 30. Mark chapter 12, verse 29. And Jesus answered him. The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with some of thy heart, a bit of thy soul, occasionally with your mind, and with some of your strength. Right? What's it say? With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That's the first commandment. You see, God says, what is really the definition of reasonable for God, to love God? Love him with everything. Everything you got. Let nothing challenge your affection for God. Nothing. Now, it is possible for us to live a Christian walk, to have a Christian life that over time, we allow certain different definitions to creep in. And we say things like, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I am. Saying so completely denies the truth of Scripture that says that when we were born again, we are new creatures in Christ. That old things pass away, become all things that become new. It denies the power of God to do in our lives what God wants to do. God, you can only take me so far because that's just how I am. That's not true. That's not true. The same Holy Spirit that indwelt the apostles, the same Holy Spirit that indwelt Apostle Paul, the same Holy Spirit that empowered Stephen, the same Holy Spirit that took Philip out to the Ethiopian, the same Holy Spirit that preached to the Philippian jailer, the same Holy Spirit that did that lives in you and in me. Why would we want to have all of that power in us to live for Christ and not give our full devotion? That's the definition of reasonable to God. Full devotion is complete. Also, the next one is reasonable followership equals total followership. God's definition of reasonable followership is total followership. That's always, every time, every day, all the time, no matter what, followership. Always following him. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, please. I do not believe that you as a sincere Christian want to live an anemic Christian life. I do not believe that Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead to give us the power through the Holy Spirit and his presence in our life that we might live an anemic Christian life. I believe that God has called us to a life of victory. The Bible says that. I believe that in him, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. I believe that we can come before the throne of grace boldly and find grace to help and mercy in the time of need. I believe that he will never leave us nor forsake us. I believe that he wants to do something with us different than just get up, go to work, or do our thing, and come home and go to bed. That is not what life is all about. You can do the same thing with a different heart and be energized and alive, or be bored and dismayed. Life is not about what's out there. Life is about what's in here. It's about what's in here. Look what it says here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, the things I used to really value, Paul says, those I counted loss for Christ. Root them off. They're in the way. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. Why? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Total followership is reasonable followership. We think, well, if I follow him totally, what is it going to cost me? What am I going to lose? What might I have to give up? Folks, you will give up nothing that you didn't already need to give up. And what you gain in following Christ will be peace and purpose that you'll never have without him. You see, as a Christian, we can't just follow him when it's convenient. We can't follow him when it's comfortable. We can't follow him when there's no other distractions or no other competition. We have to follow him completely. That's what's reasonable. And here's why it's reasonable. Jesus Christ spoke the universe into existence. In him we live and move and have our being. You would not be if it was not for him. You would not be able to work if it was not for him. You would not be able to earn if it was not for him. You would not be able to think if it was not for him, or speak or do anything. You are literally made in the image of God, and in so being, God endowed you and I with the ability to actually live. Our very essence is because of him. We are upheld by literally the word of his power and the thoughts of his mind. He deserves our full followership. Who are we but petulant children to deny that we should be hot on his heels? That he, as the captain of our salvation, should be leading a faithful army of saints. Not ones that are, well, Now, we can make things legalistic, and I'm not trying to do that. But I got to ask you a question. When God has divinely appointed a New Testament church with officers called pastors and deacons, and he has divinely called pastors who are prayerfully considered by a congregation and selected, and then he, holy through the Holy Spirit leading, places upon that pastor's heart a burden to study and search the scriptures and prepare a message and deliver it, why would you want to stay home and watch a football game or go to the grocery store and call yourself a Christian? I'm just being honest. It makes no sense to me. God has divinely put in place a thing and a plan and a motion to equip us to live for him, to follow him. But we will let the smallest of things say, not today. I got to stay home and polish my hubcaps. I'm sorry. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But we don't get the right to redefine what devotion is. God has defined that. And you want to see what it is? It's Christ marching himself to the cross. That's devotion. Can we do anything less than to follow our leader? If we call him our Lord, he asks the question, you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not the things I ask. It's a legitimate question, right? You see, for God, reasonable followership is complete followership. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, Jesus said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Well, there that takes care of it. Luke 9, 23 and 24. Deny yourself. Anything that would get in the way, just deny it. Just give it up. Deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. You see, we walk by faith. God... There are tons of marketing strategies to get you to buy something. Buy one, get one free. No interest for 90 days. No payments. We'll make your first 2 months payments for you. You see, the world tries to entice you to do things by making offers. God says, follow me based upon my character, by faith, and watch and see. God's not going to give you a template of all you're going to get. He wants you to experience it with him by walking by faith. He makes promises that we can rest assured, but still we have to believe them. We have to be fully following. Not sometimes. Not when we feel like it. All the time. Every time. It's too easy for us to, when God says go, to be like Jonah and say no and run the other way. God says, I want you to serve in this class. That's not my thing, God. I didn't ask you if that was your thing. You see, we have to die to self. Full followership is total followership. Last one, reasonable faith is total faith to the point of action. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Notice the point there, though, is what portion of our heart are we to trust him with? All thine heart. So we trust God with all of our heart. And Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured out to you again. You see, God doesn't say, I'm going to give you, then you get. I'm going to give to you, then you give. He says, give, and then you'll see it. You see, God says, give first. Then you'll see it, the blessing. God says, forgive. then you'll see the blessing. God says go last, then you'll see the blessing. You see, the point is simply this, that reasonable faith is full faith and confidence in God to the point of action. It does us no good to see someone in need and tisk tisk or wish for them when we have the means to help them. Real faith must be a living faith that does. James talks about that. Faith without works is what? What? Dead. Dead. Reasonable faith is a faith that acts, that does. Peter, when he got out of the boat, exercised, we say that's extraordinary. That was reasonable faith. That was absolutely reasonable. I mean, how about when they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. What was going through his mind as he reached his hand down there and took that guy's hand? Hope this works. No. Full faith. The God of the universe is in charge here. That's who I serve. I serve the Lord of glory. I'm not serving some puny guy that somebody made up. I'm not worshiping some building where there's an angel on a tower. I don't have to go to somebody else and make confess my sins to some guy. I serve the Lord of glory, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who someday is going to come back. And we're going to give an account of the deeds done in the body. And we're going to get asked, did you redefine reasonable? Did you change the definition of reasonable to suit you? Reasonable faith is total faith to action. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says, you bring it in and watch what happens. But we live in a day and age where it's like, well, you do something for me, God, and then I'll let you know. God deserves our full devotion. If God says act, act. So I'm not sure how it's going to work out. You never know. When you leave your house and drive to the store, you don't know how it's going to work out. You get a flat tire, have a wreck. You get to the store and the 10 item or less line is filled with people who have 30 items. I mean, it could be any number of catastrophes. We never know. You never, ever, ever know. But when it comes to God, it's like, God, I want to have a contract. Can you assure me this will work out? Well, God is the God of the universe. If there's anybody that can make it work out, it's him. We put more trust in our car than our God sometimes. More trust in our investments than our God sometimes. More trust in our insurance than our God sometimes. I'm not saying those things aren't things we have to have, but put our trust in God. And how do you demonstrate that? By acting. Peter getting out of the boat was ridiculous by every human standard and completely reasonable by every faith standard. Every faith standard, completely reasonable. You see, we have got to be willing to live and say, well, you know, there's a point when you just kind of draw the line. How about Abel offered an excellent sacrifice? By faith. Enoch pleased God and was taken up? By faith. Noah believed God and built an ark? By faith. Noah had never seen the earth destroyed by water. He'd never seen a cataclysmic event like that. Where's Brother Mark, do you think Noah had seen a flood like that before? A rainstorm like that? Gushers of the deep come up? Not a chance. He spent over 100 years building a boat for a storm he'd never seen. Because he believed God. How about Abraham moved his family without knowing their destination? We won't go to the store without a list. And if we do something that's not on the list, we'll write it on the list so we feel better about it. We're weird. We're just weird people. Okay? And then when we cross it off our list, we go, oh. Not forgetting the yogurt was cool. I mean, really? You see, these guys all did stuff they didn't plan on doing. But the more we script our lives, the less we just take faith to just kind of shove it out of the way. Well, that wouldn't be reasonable. Because I want you to give all your money to that missionary. Well, that wouldn't be reasonable. Well, it is if you're serving the God of the universe, who owns everything. It's totally reasonable. He is more than capable of taking care of you without going to a bank. You see, reasonable faith is total faith to the point of acting. Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. Totally reasonable, because they believed that God would preserve him. Joshua led Israel in victory. Joshua was told to march around Jericho and do nothing. Basically, he was told this: you're a general of an army, go look silly for 7 days. Go look just silly. Go march around in the hot sun. Just march around, then leave. Look silly. I mean, I bet that some of Joshua's soldiers are like, what are we doing? What is this all about? Why are we marching around again? I mean, by day 4, there had to be some grumbling. Really? When are we going to attack those guys? Soldiers like to fight. That's why they're soldiers. Okay. But the point is, he believed God. You see, that was reasonable by God's standard. Hebrews 11, they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the enemies. How? By total faith. Total faith. Total trust in God to the point of action. It does you no good to believe God but not act. I mean, the Bible says, I think, that the demons believe God. They know the scriptures and tremble. But that didn't keep them from revolting. Okay. You see, reasonable faith is full faith in God to the point of acting. Nothing less is reasonable. If we define reasonable faith as something less, we're not trusting God. Turn to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, please. In our lives, there are a lot of things that can creep in. There are things that can happen to us that wound us. There are habits that we can develop, mindsets that we can settle in on, roots of bitterness that can grow in our hearts, strongholds that can take charge of portions of our heart. We can lose hope in our flesh. There are a lot of things that can rob us of the joy of our salvation. But none of them are greater than he that is in us. None of them. And we must believe that. You see, living the Christian life means that we are living the Christ life. That Christ, who is our life, is what we live. That people see not us, but Christ in us. So it makes complete sense that our life would not follow nor be conformed to the worldly definitions of these things. It must be, by its very nature, extraordinary, because we serve an extraordinary God. And yet too often we settle for the pedestrian and the mundane. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I would like to advise you, if you've not turned there, to turn there and to read that with me, okay? Let's read it together. I would like to have you hear the words in your own voice, in your own head. Are we ready? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the life we live. That's the life God has called us to. Reasonable devotion is full devotion. Reasonable followership is total followership. Reasonable faith is undivided faith to the point of action. God knows that for us in our flesh, that's a big leap. And he says in Psalm chapter 34 and verse 8, he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." He invites us to try him. To try him. To step out of the boat. To give the last dollar. To say yes when we're afraid to say yes. To deny ourselves. To act like our Savior and not like ourselves. For to me and to you, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So what are we going to do? Are we going to live our lives as Christians with the Holy Spirit of power and love and a sound mind inside of us, the Word of God in our hands, the Great Commission in our hearts, and eternity in our sights with the Son of God sitting at the right hand of the Father, who we keep our eyes on, like the author of Hebrews talks about, and live a life of mundane, pedestrian mediocrity, or of reasonable service? I would like to challenge you this morning to choose reasonable, as God defines it. Whatever you have been doing, if you've been sorrowing in your misery, stop. Stop. Everybody in this room, there are a million people more unfortunate than you and I. And that's in this state alone, let alone the world. Are you wishing you were more talented? Stop. There are people that have nothing and no means to get it. We are so blessed. The fact that we can be here and hear the message and consider it is amazing. What do we do with what God has given? Our job is to surrender. Surrender. The only way to live the Christian life is to surrender. To die daily to self and live for God. You see, we'll never do it on our own. You by yourself and me by myself have not the power to live a divine life. It's not possible. Only through the power of God. Only because Christ is in us. Only because we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Only because we have a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Only because we have hope that makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Only because we have peace that passes understanding. Only because we can do all things through Christ can we live that life. When? If you're living a pedestrian Christian life, will you cast aside your definition of reasonable and take up God's? And find out that when you taste, you will see just how good he is. Just how good he is. And you will, metaphorically, not be afraid of the lions in the den, or the fiery furnace, or the raging river that you cross to go into the promised land, or the Red Sea. None of those things. Because Romans 8 talks about that. Who shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? The answer is nothing. Nothing. Praise God. We are a people most blessed. We just need to live like it. Amen? We just need to live like it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you. God, you have called us to full devotion. We use the term full devotion. You use the term reasonable service. So God, I would pray that today you would help each one of us to examine our lives. God, I do not believe that there is a single person in this room who could not be more like your son. Each one of us need to grow in our Christ-likeness. But we don't do that by force of will, dear God, but by surrender. Victory is in submitting, not in conquering. Sin is not overcome by sheer force, but by a love for you, a desire to please you, to obey you, to be used of you. God, I pray that you would help us to taste and see what you're describing today. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together, please. We'll turn to 467, Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Let's move up in our faith. 467, let's move up to a higher ground, a higher plane.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane.
Randy, you're right. God, the Holy Spirit is convicted. You're right. But I'm not sure how to do it. That's not for you to figure out. That's God's job. Your job and my job is to surrender, fully surrender to Him, to obey Him. So if you're here this morning, you say, God, you know what? I've got some holdouts. I've got some things that I've had for a long time. I just challenge you and I encourage you. Come up here and pray. Give them to the Lord. Say, God, I don't even know how to undo it, but you do. And what I give to you, God, is a willing heart, a willing, obedient heart. That's what I bring. Bring to Him that contrition. Cast ourselves upon Him. And let He, the potter, shape us the clay. That's not our job. Our job is to be pliable. So if God's laid something on your heart today, man, don't leave without doing something about it, please. Because if we don't change, it won't change. Amen. Stanza 2.
My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these are found, Lord, plant my feet.
Above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. You can't do that and go places we shouldn't go and look at things on the internet we shouldn't look at and read things we shouldn't read and say things we shouldn't say. You can't sing that but live something else. We've got to make sure that our lives are in line with God. And the only person that can examine you is you with the power of the Holy Spirit. And if God says to you today in your heart of hearts, you're right where I want you, praise God. That is awesome. But pray for those who you know are struggling. who are caught up in dilemmas, who are wrestling with competing affections, difficulties, habits, addictions. Those are real. We don't talk about them much at church, but they're real. And they're real in this room. And everybody in this room has battled with something, whether it's pride or arrogance or something else. Maybe today is a good day to give God everything, all of it, every day to Him. Amen. Let's sing this fourth stanza.
I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray.
I love you all. Everything that I said to you, I said to me all week long. Man, it's hard. But if we could know the fullness of our salvation and walk in that, we would be the light and the salt that Christ described. And we would find our lives so unimaginably fulfilling for the Lord that we would be in a strait between two, staying or going. Folks, let's just declutter. Let's get rid of stuff we don't need. Strip down to fighting speed and fighting shape. And serve the Lord our God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you and praise you. God, we need your help. Wow, Lord, we need your help. And God, I just pray that we would not be ashamed or afraid to say that. God, you know full well as a holy God what is in our lives that is a hindrance. Whether it be a weight or a sin, God, I pray that you would put your holy hand upon it and point it out. And that we, dear God, would be faithful to set it aside. Lord, I pray that we would be totally devoted to you. That we would be so confident in you that circumstance no longer defines our disposition. I thank you and praise you. I give you the glory. I pray you would be with the farmers, God. God, as a great physician, I pray that you would come upon their lives in a special way and just give them a real sense of your presence and your mercy and your grace, dear God. Minister in their lives, God, and if it be your will that you would heal Cindy, dear God. But if not, dear God, as it unfolds in their lives, God, that they would see your perfect will unfold before them, and they would trust you most of all. For you, dear God, are a good God and a holy God and a mighty God. In Jesus' name, amen.